I'm Sharon Betters, and I'm so glad that you have joined us on our journey to Easter with the Women of the Resurrection. And I welcome you, whether you are from somewhere in the United States or across the world, as you join with your sisters on this journey, as we get to know some of our other sisters who have walked this pathway to the resurrection before us. Today, we're going to hear from my daughter-in-law, Melanie Betters. Melanie is sharing with us some of her thoughts about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and this is part two. Today's treasure is John 19, verses 23 through 27. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. This is one of the most tender moments in Scripture. Mary and several women stood by the cross as the soldiers squabbled over her dear son's clothing. Her little boy, Jesus, is brutally beaten and bloodied. I picture her touching his bleeding feet and remembering the many times she caressed his newborn toes and taught him to walk and watched him run through the streets of Galilee. No doubt she followed him as he carried his cross up rugged streets, back sliced open by the whip, blood streaming down his face. My heart aches when any of my children hurt, especially if the hurt is from the hands of someone else. I do whatever I can to alleviate their pain. I can only imagine Mary's grief and fear. Maybe the exhortation early in his ministry that only those who follow him are his brothers and sisters. Maybe that moment when she could not fix the problem she saw. Maybe that was the first of many moments when she had to step back and trust her son. Perhaps those moments helped prepare her for this horrific day. She could not fix this the way she held him when he scraped his knees or was bullied by friends. Imagine you are standing with Mary at the cross. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." John 19, verses 23 through 24. And this was to fill the scripture which says in Psalm 22, 18, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Following our Savior requires a cost. Mary was told as a young mother by Simeon in the temple that a sword would pierce her heart. The cross was the ultimate piercing moment. She remembered the prophecy of Isaiah that said our Savior would be pierced for our transgressions. She heard Jesus echo the agonizing words of Psalm 22 as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Watching her precious son butchered in such a horrific manner is a grief we can barely fathom. Yet she did not run. She knew following Jesus meant she would also be wounded. She is the only person at the cross who was there when he was born. She would not leave him now. Jesus knew his wounded mother needed her faith community now more than ever. We hear him from the cross give over the care of his mother to the Apostle John. She would not grieve alone. And as Mary's story fades into the background of Scripture, we see her quiet yet powerful and lasting legacy in Scripture. What can we gather about how she lived out the rest of her life? We are confident that Mary's is one of the main first-hand accounts that Luke uses to write his gospel. Scripture doesn't offer many details, but how I wish we had the story of when she first laid eyes on Jesus after his miraculous resurrection. Yet the gospel is not about her life. Her life is about making Jesus known. Her devotion to his mission is foremost. The last time we see Mary mentioned in Scripture is in the upper room, praying fervently with the other disciples. Remember what we said about the meaning of the word follow? Follow is used approximately 75 times in the New Testament and always means submission to a teacher. Mary was a true follower of Jesus, who heard him exhort his followers to abide in him, and they would bear much fruit. How appropriate that the last word we have on Mary is that she is a woman devoted to prayer. She doesn't go home to wallow in missing her son. Instead, she trusts the promise of Psalm 92 that she will continue to flourish and bear fruit in her old age as she soaks in God's word. And oh, Father, what was it like to stand at the foot of the cross? A physical darkness descends on the earth, and angels watched as God turned his back on his only son. How can we abuse the grace your beloved son made possible for us to receive, and the resurrection power he gives when he forgives our sins and promises to never leave us? As we remember those awful hours, may you fill our hearts with sorrow for sin and joy in response to forgiveness.
Well, friends, as we're looking forward to the weekend, I hope that these devotionals are continuing to open up your eyes and heart to the incredible gift of salvation. Sometimes we take it for granted, don't we? Sometimes we forget the price that Jesus paid for us and the beautiful redeeming power of his love and forgiveness. I pray that if you don't know Jesus, that this would be the day, that this would be the day that you would ask him into your heart. And if you do know Jesus, I hope that you will offer that same help and hope to others, whether it is through a few words to a person that you meet in a store or a teacher or an employee or an employer or the cashier. Offer the help and hope of Jesus just by your demeanor. One of the ways that we are so encouraged by the work that God is doing through Mark Inc. is with the notes that we receive from so many of you. And I want to share one of those notes with you today. I woke up this last Saturday of the year with a heavy heart after looking at social media instead of digging into God's word first. I lost my one and only child 4 years ago. He left me with a beautiful granddaughter. But her mom has since moved away, and I don't see them often, nor hear from them, and it breaks my heart so badly. When I read today's devotional, the tears flowed, and I felt like God was catching my tears as I read, "He is right here with me," as I read those words in the devotional. I thank you so much as I navigate this life without my precious son and in the middle of this broken relationship. It grieves me so much because we all had a great relationship before my son's death, and it feels like I am suffering another death. But I am going to trust God to mend this. I just have to keep praying and believing and trusting God. So thankful for this ministry. It truly has been an encouragement and blessing to me. What a gift to us are these words of encouragement. And I want to encourage you to encourage another person today. Be intentional about being sensitive to the people around you and looking for that one person who is desperate for hope, hanging on to life by her fingernails. You could be the person who breaks the ache in her soul because of the hope that you offer through the power of Jesus in your own life. I'm Sharon Betters. Thanks so much for joining us for this devotional, Our Journey to Easter with the Women of the Resurrection. I look forward to being with you tomorrow.